This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. The program, per usual, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. Last Friday of the regular season, it was difficult to find some props, enough of them here by 12:30, 1 p.m. Eastern. Obviously, it's a weird week, but we do have 10 plays here, including a best bet for the week. We want to go out on a winning note. We'll catch you up on all the news coming down the line here on a Friday, and as it relates to propage and fantasy and the NFL playoffs, we'll check in with our guy Josh Chevalier of Fantasy Points College Football. He's got some notable props for the Duke's Mayo Bowl and the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. So we continue with the propage. We'll also get his thoughts on yesterday's action. It sure seems to me like the Indiana Hoosiers are a team of destiny. And my Georgia Bulldogs, I did fall asleep. I will admit it was a close game at the end. I did fall asleep. They did not emerge victorious. So a lot of lugubrious people out here on the streets in Georgia, because again, it's like 90% of their football interest down here is on the Georgia Bulldogs, at least where I am. No one really cares about the Atlanta Falcons. Not that they missed much this year. We'll also check in with our guy, Jake Tribby of FantasyPoints.com. He's got some DFS recommendations, and I will, like I said, pop out my favorite props. I did have to kind of focus on really the three massive games, the two on Saturday and then the one on Sunday night, because those props, those numbers have been out there for quite some time. Make sure you download your Prop Points podcast and you're subscribed wherever you get your pods, Apple, Spotify, and the like. Well, here's some updates coming down the line. Lamar Jackson will play Sunday night. He has been practicing in full, and unlike previous weeks, he's practiced a little bit more this week. He did say that he felt pretty good, and spoiler alert, I am in on a Lamar Jackson prop. Desperate times call for desperate measures, I guess. The pickings are a little slim, but I like it. I like it enough to put my name on it and pop it out here, so stay tuned for that. Bronco wide receiver Pat Bryant practiced fully on Thursday. We'll see if he gets cleared out of the protocol. Not that I'm messing around with it. I don't like Denver in a normal week, basically. I'm not going to feel warm and fuzzy about them up against the Chargers, who are not going to be putting their best foot forward with Trey Lance expected to start. Speaking of those Chargers, Kamani Vidal practiced fully on Thursday. Don't even know if he's going to play. How valuable is Kamani Vidal? Because Amarian Hampton, he also out of practice late this week. So I'm guessing neither guy plays, quite frankly. They do have, well, they've got Hassan Haskins, who I'll never forgive him for that prop we lost 2 months ago, by the way, when I was thinking, oh, you know, he played for Jim Harbaugh. No, that didn't work out. But they do have Hassan Haskins, another guy who played for Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. Blake Corum did not practice on Thursday, so we are looking at Kyren Williams. I don't think there is a Kyren Williams prop out. Probably waiting on this Blake Corum news. Kyren was limited as well, so can't play it even if they had one. I'm not playing a prop on an injured guy. Remember, that was one of our New Year's resolutions, was to, I mean, easier said than done, but let's not play anyone on the injury report. Just completely remove that layer of, you know, risk, basically. Any player's a risk if he suits up, but I want my guys to be in pristine physical condition before the kickoff. Let's just say it like that for the props. Because why am I saying this? I'm still a little bitter. Last week, I went in on Javonte Williams. Again, standalone week. It was Christmas Day. I'm like, well, he should do very well. He was removed from the injury report. He was on the injury report with a neck, removed from the injury report late in the week. I'm like, all right, he's good to go. And he was. He had 50 yards at the half, but he aggravated the injury, and that was it. So probably wouldn't have gotten an L if I just removed him from the equation. Trent Williams, the left tackle for the Niners, questionable to play. I'm sure he'll go in basically a playoff game. Same deal with Ricky Pearsall. Very confusing with these 49er receivers. I'm not sure where I want to go with it because it's a bad matchup, but you also have Brock Purdy on fire, yet you got banged up dudes here. There's a lot going on there, so I just avoided it. I'm not in on a Ricky Pearsall prop. I really kind of did want to go in on a Juwan Jennings under, but you know, he will see a lot of Reek Willem, but there's always something, it's a bad individual or it's a good individual matchup. It's a good schematic matchup, but you got this factor. Looking at Juwan Jennings, a very good schematic matchup, but he's going to see a lot of Reek Willem, so I want no parts of that. In that game, Rashid Shaheed, I mean, it looks like he was removed from the injury report, and he will play. So I guess he's been out of the protocol. That was a little close for comfort here in a short week, but that is good for Seattle. I am in on a Seattle, actually two. Not Rashid Shaheed. I'm not going to go there with him. Also, Devon Achan didn't practice today. So there's another prop that's probably off the board, off the grid. Obviously, they're out of the playoffs. I don't think they would risk anything with a shoulder on Devon Achan when you've got Jalen Wright and they've got Ollie Gordon. They can continue. You can evaluate those guys, especially Wright, who is popping off the screen a little bit lately. Jalen Waddle for those Miami Dolphins, ribs questionable for week 18 against the Patriots. I don't think I would touch that one either. I'm surprised that he's trending toward playing. It looked like he was going to miss the finale with those ribs. By the way, they also placed Darren Waller on IR with that groin injury. Maybe that was a problem. I know he was dealing with the groin, I believe, but he was taken off the injury report last week too. That's why we got suckered into that prop over 25.5, I think it was. 24.5 seemed too good to be true. And it was. Not that the Dolphin tight ends didn't get it done, because obviously Greg Dulcich had a big game. Chase Brown, running back for the Cincinnati Bengals, on the injury report, he be illin. Basically, he's on the report with an illness. RB8 right now. He is beating his ADP. If you would have told me in, Halloween that Chase Brown was going to outdo his ADP, I would have been like, man, that is the most optimistic take I've ever heard, but it happened. They made some tweaks to the running game, and he starts popping off these longer runs, a little bit more delay draws. Sure seems like that to me. Getting Joe Burrow back helped a lot as well, because he peppers Chase Brown with targets. We also have some Week 18 bonuses on the line that we can get into, and I looked at all these, and nothing truly popped, but FYI, the number one that is of note, and it is very ironic, Tony Pollard. I actually had him on my target list. Not that I'm bragging at all, and I haven't bragged because it's been a disastrous year, but he's actually going to do exactly what I thought. I can go back and look at my actual projections, and I can almost guarantee he's literally right exactly there. And he's going to outproduce his ADP. But it's been a disaster. Let's be honest here. It has been a disaster. However, he's rolling now. Better late than never, I guess. But, it only took him 3 months to get rolling. But he really is. And he needs 66 rushing yards to get to 1,100. And that's good for a $250,000 bonus. The prop, of course, right there. 67.5 on DK. Rico Dowdle needs just 7 scrimmage yards to reach 1,350 and a $1 million bonus. So I think we're going to get that. And spoiler alert, I'm in on a Rico Dowdle prop. It's nothing fancy, but a win is a win is a win. And not that many choices again this week, so I'm kind of focusing in on the games that really, truly matter, like that Carolina-Tampa Bay game. 5 catches will earn Hunter Henry a $250,000 bonus. Didn't really consider that. Probably should have. But, you know, Austin Hooper's back in the mix. He scored a touchdown last week. Dawson Knox can land an additional 100 grand with 7 receiving yards. Here's a problem. I saw that Josh Allen got a clean bill of health. But, I mean, how much are we seeing of Josh Allen? We'll probably see a lot of Dawson Knox, though. So if and when a prop comes out, you may play the over, because Dalton Kincaid, it would do him good to just take the week off without all that much to gain. Khalil Shakir will get $150,000 salary escalator in 2026 if he scores a touchdown. I'm, though, rooting against him, because right now as it stands on the VSiN betting guide that we put out in the summer, I had an article of 15 season-long prop picks. Right now, I think we're 11-4. But if Shakir can get like 90 yards, we'll drop to 10-5. Still a pretty good showing, but I'd rather have 11-4. So sorry, Khalil Shakir. Love you, but we'll try again next year with you, and we'll try some college football talk on the other side with Josh Chevalier. But first, start the new year off as a better with a VSiN Pro subscription. This is the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. Sign up now and get VSiN Pro access through May 1st. For just $79, including everything: daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video, and more. Plus, the college football playoff betting guide, complete with expert brackets and more. Start the new year off with an edge. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. College football propage next year on Prop Points. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com, and from the aforementioned website, our old friend on the Progressive Guest Line, Josh Chevalier of Fantasy Points College Football on the X Machine at CFF Guys. Josh, Happy New Year. Glad to be able to chop it up with you. How you been?
Yeah, man, I've been great. You know, it's been a great new year already. You know, I'm a Miami Hurricane fan. I won't say that too loud, but, you know, we've been suffering a lot over the last 20 years. And so it's sweet to be at least semi-relevant again in the college football space.
I'm sure you don't get as excited as Michael Irvin gets, though, right? I mean, because that's like way over the top here. I thought we were going to get a Carson Beck revenge game, but no, Ole Miss upsets Georgia. Your thoughts there? Might they make a run here, Ole Miss, without Lane Kiffin, just to stick it to him?
I mean, the reports this morning of the entire offensive staff being back at LSU and maybe they won't coach in the next game is absolutely crazy. But I think as long as Charlie Weiss is there, yeah, man, what's happening right now at Ole Miss is crazy. But look, their offense is amazing. Trinidad Chambliss wins a D2 title and now might win a national championship. I mean, how many guys can say that? I mean, this NIL transfer portal era has just absolutely changed college football in so many ways. And you see it with, you know, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia all going down. You have Indiana, Oregon, Ole Miss, and Miami, teams that haven't been relevant, except Oregon in the last 20 years, really. And they're new day in college football for sure.
Yeah, man. Charlie Weiss, you know, I did a radio show with his father you know, about 5 years ago for a whole year. So I know Charlie Weiss very well. I mean, there is a dad proud of his son for sure. No doubt. And he was just getting started when I used to talk to Charlie about all that in the career. So very impressive. I think he's like 32, 33 years old. How about Indiana crushing Alabama? It sure seems to me like the Indiana Hoosiers are a team of destiny. You think they're going to take it all?
I mean, I don't see where they don't take it all. I mean, do they even have any holes at this point? I mean, when you got the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback and Fernando Mendoza, you got a running game that's just been incredible all year, right? They have three running backs there, two because one of them's hurt. And they just Kalen Black, or you got Roman Hemby. Both those guys are just, you know, plugging along. And look, defensively, I don't know. Cignetti, we were talking about this before we came on. That guy, he's just magic. He can spot talent anywhere, and then he knows the personnel he needs to run his systems, and he just does an absolutely incredible job. And so, look, it's Cignetti's hour. And this is a world we're all just living in that right now.
Yeah, I'm always I'm not always, but I'm a little taken back by Mendoza being like a true nerd. Like, he's a nerd. And I say that like complimentary. You know what I mean? Like, we're not worrying about this guy. Like, when he goes to the NFL, you know, let's say he goes to Vegas. We're not worried about him in Vegas. By the way, do you think he'll be the number one overall pick? I would think so. It's not the greatest quarterback class, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, maybe him and Dante Moore in this next game are playing for that number one pick. I don't know who else would be at this point. Look, Mendoza reminds me a lot of Andrew Luck back in the day as far as just this heady, cerebral guy, right? Both Stanford, Cal. He's a private school kid. Mendoza is, you know, great kid, great family. So not a lot of risk there. And, man, the kid just shows up in the biggest moments for sure.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of guy that can get the Raiders out of their half a century doldrum, basically. I know they've been good, you know, not that, you know, 25 years ago they were good, made the Super Bowl, but, you know, they haven't had a promising quarterback. I went back and I looked, I'm going Ken Stabler in like 1972, the last time they had a young quarterback who was really good. Well, neither here nor there. We still have some propage that you were nice enough to pop out for us. We'll start with Duke's Mayo Bowl, Wake Forest at Mississippi State. Kamario Taylor, you're going to go under here, 216.5 passing yards. What do you see there?
Yeah, you know, look, Kamario Taylor is a true freshman getting a second start of the year. I mean, he replaced starting quarterback Blake Shapen. And look, with Blake, he's primarily a drop back pocket, pure pocket passer. That's not Kamario Taylor's game. He started his first game against Ole Miss. He had 178 yards passing and 173 yards rushing on that defense. And so, look, at this point, Kamario Taylor's a lot better with his legs than his arm. And this Wake Forest defense is no joke. They've only given up 200 yards passing to four QBs all year. And their defensive line is good. They're 20, you know, and their secondary is good too. They're 24th in EPA per pass. Their defense is and fourth in defensive success rate against the pass. I do think Mississippi State can win this game, but I think it's going to be on the back of Fluff Bothwell and on the legs of Kamario Taylor, not on his arm. So I'm going to go under. I just don't see him being able to drop back and hit this 216-yard mark. And so I think the under for me is pretty safe in this one.
In the same game, you've got Carlos Hernandez over 63.5 receiving yards. It looks like our projection is pretty close. Which side are you on that one?
Look, I mean, this is absolutely crazy. I'm going over here with Carlos Hernandez. This guy has been on fire over the last three games. He had 197 yards receiving like three or four games ago, and then, you know, hits 100 yards receiving, then his last game he had 93. So this yardage prop is pretty low to me. I think even our projections are a bit low on him, maybe because he really came on near the end of this year. And I think one thing to factor in here too is that Chris Barnes, their star slot receiver for Wake Forest, he hit the transfer portal. He's out for this game. Mekhi Mays is another outside receiver that's out. And so, look, there's not a lot of mouths to feed. And I think that Carlos Hernandez can take advantage of that. And he's really become, the quarterback there, Robbie Ashford. He's become his go-to target. And so I think, even though I think Kamari Taylor is going to go under in his passing yards, I do think on the other side, right, Wake Forest will be able to pass around enough, and Carlos Hernandez will go over here.
We've got Navy at Cincinnati. Marquee matchup. No, just kidding there. Cyrus Allen over 40.5. Beggars can't be choosers. We got to get some action here. Cyrus Allen, you're going in over 40.5 receiving yards. So explain away that one.
I mean, this game could be a shootout because Cincinnati's whole defense is in the portal at this point. I mean, the transfer portal opened up today. And look, their whole secondary is in the portal, defensive linemen or linebackers. Look, it's slim pickings there for Cincinnati. I do think Navy's going to be able to move the ball on Cincinnati. And on the other end, look, Navy's defense is terrible against the pass. 104th in passing yards per game given up, 241 yards, 131st in EPA per pass. So, look, they're terrible at stopping the pass. It will be a backup quarterback throwing to Cyrus Allen, but this has been their leading receiver all year. We haven't projected a 60.6 yards. The prop is at 40.5 receiving yards. I just think everything's pointing to Cyrus Allen to be able to get over on this prop in this game. He's been over the last four games, and we're going to pick him to go over again.
Yeah, when you're looking at 40.5 and you're projected – and you trust the projection, 60.5. I mean, that's enough. That's enough for me.
Yep.
So there it is. Three plays here from Josh Chevalier of Fantasy Points College Football. Kamario Taylor, under 216 passing yards. Carlos Hernandez, though, over 63.5 receiving yards. And then Cyrus Allen, over 40.5 receiving yards. Make sure you follow Josh on the X machine at CFF Guys. Once again, Happy New Year, Josh. Really appreciate the time and the picks. Good luck with them.
Yeah. Thanks, John. Happy New Year, man.
There he is, Josh Chevalier, Fantasy Points Data. And when we return, Fantasy Points College, we'll talk DFS with Jake Tribby. But first, football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSiN, V-S-I-N. Don't wait. Spend $129. Get 2 pounds of wings and save 50% off site-wide on steaks and more at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. And on the other side, we'll check in with Jake Tribby, DFS aficionado over at fantasypoints.com. He's next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, and going right back to the Progressive guest line to bring in our guy, Jake Tribby, NFL DFS staff writer over at fantasypoints.com on the X machine at Jake Tribby. Happy New Year, Jake. I'm sure you're ready to rock and roll. So let's get right into it, because I'm a big body language guy, by the way, and I study that, and I can get a feel for how a player is feeling. And the best body language at quarterback down the stretch, other than Brock Purdy dancing after that touchdown on Sunday night, because a guy can move, okay? Just put him right up there on the dance floor. That was impressive. But next up is Trevor Lawrence. I mean, my man is feeling it right now. I think the offense has been has sped him up a little bit. He's been more decisive. It just seems like it's all working and it's all good for Trevor Lawrence. What do you see with Trev this week?
Absolutely, yeah. Lawrence has been great. 27 and a half DraftKings fantasy points per game over his last six games. And there might not be a better way for him to end the season than against Tennessee. The Titans are the league's biggest pass funnel by pass rate over expectation allowed, and they rank as the third softest schedule-adjusted matchup for opposing quarterbacks since week nine. All of this, of course, is reflected in Jacksonville's slate-leading implied team total, just a hair over 30 points. And the blowout spread here isn't too worrisome either. Lawrence has all four of the team's red zone rushing touchdowns over the last 3 weeks, and Jacksonville leads the league in red zone pass rate over expectation since week 11. So whenever the Jaguars get close to scoring, the ball should be in Lawrence's hands in a great matchup.
Next up, you've got Jahmyr Gibbs, and I can see it. You know, I'm still just in absolute shock that my David Montgomery prop didn't hit last week. The guy got 10 carries. All he needed was 31 yards, but they turned the ball over six times. I mean, just amazing. And I just feel like Dan Campbell probably wants this win. Jahmyr Gibbs is due. The Bears, you can run on the Bears. They may pull some starters here. I just feel like it's a bonanza for Detroit. What do you see with Gibbs?
Yeah, I mean, the Lions don't have anything to play for, but head coach Dan Campbell already noted that all healthy players will be playing the full game this week. And, I mean, we would have killed to play Jahmyr Gibbs at an $8,000 price tag in this good of a game environment. The total here is 50.5 just a few weeks ago. In games with a total higher than 48 this year, of which Gibbs has played in 11 such games, Gibbs has averaged an absurd 26.1 DraftKings fantasy points per game. He scored over 37 DraftKings points in 36% of those contests. So we know the upside with Gibbs is absolutely incredible, and I imagine the Lions want to end their season on a high note here.
Now, you have Malik Davis on the list here, and I know that is related to Javonte, but he's also banged up here. So I don't know. What do you see there? What are you thinking? Because, you know, I am a little worried that they want to get Jaden Blue involved. Although, you know, if Malik Davis does go, he looks good, you know, and why not? Why wouldn't you want to evaluate him? Javonte's a free agent at the end of the year. I think they already know they want to bring him back. But what do you see in the Cowboys backfield?
Yeah, there's always a lot in flux when it comes to week 18 DFS. And I think someone from this backfield is going to end up as a pretty strong value. Obviously, Javonte Williams has not practiced this week, and neither has Malik Davis. So we could get a $4,300 Jaden Blue opening up as a strong value. Regardless, though, you know, whoever's starting should be in line for at least 70% of backfield usage in a backfield that's worth 22.3 fantasy points per game. And this is a top two schedule adjusted matchup with the New York Giants, as well as one of the best game environments on the main slate. So, you know, if Javonte sits, yeah, Malik Davis should be right there as the best running back value of the slate. If both running backs sit, I imagine Jaden Blue will end up as a pretty extreme running back value. Like I said, only 4,300. And then, of course, if Javonte plays at 6,300, he would be a solid value, but not nearly as good as those other two guys. So we just got to keep an eye on injury reports today. But I imagine someone from this backfield is going to look pretty good.
I'm sure you've thought about it. If you had to choose in that game, because I like the game. You know, I think the Giants aren't tanking, so they'll try to win with Jackson Dart. Dallas gives up a lot of big plays. But if you have to choose between CD or George Pickens in that matchup, which way are you going there? You know, they play a lot of man. It's good for both.
Yeah, I mean, that is a really tough one. And they're so similarly priced, too. Pickens at 7,200, CeeDee Lamb at 7,300. I think it would probably come down to ownership for me. And I know that Pickens is going to be significantly more popular this week. One of the better notes that I had on this matchup for CeeDee Lamb was that the Giants ranked top five in receiving yards per game allowed on the deep ball. Lamb ranks third among all wide receivers in deep targets per game. So, you know, if George Pickens is going to be 12 to 15% owned and Lamb closer to 5 to 8%, I think I'd prefer Lamb because they are just so close in my mind.
Talking with Jake Tribby, fantasypoints.com, NFL DFS analyst on the X Machine at Jake Tribby. You know, this time last week, I absolutely loved Parker Washington, but I also kind of liked Brenton Strange a little bit, and Jacoby Myers was balling. So I was like, you know what? Let me just
let me just play the Trevor Lawrence prop. That was our number one play last week, and he did hit it, thankfully. But, man, Parker Washington looked awesome, and you like him again here. Another good matchup. This guy is Mr. Reliable. I joked earlier in the year he was the only one brave enough to go over the middle to catch hospital balls from Trevor Lawrence, but – I mean, we're a little bit better than that even. He's balling out there. What do you see with Washington?
Yeah, he's been playing incredibly well. Leads all Jacksonville pass catchers in target share, air yardage share, and expected fantasy points per game over the last 2 weeks. And maybe this shouldn't be surprising. Washington, at 2.16 yards per out run, has easily been Jacksonville's most efficient wide receiver in 2025. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, this is a matchup with a pass funnel Titans defense that's deployed cover four at a top four rate. Washington actually leads the Jaguars in targets per out run against cover four this season. So it's another great spot for Parker Washington. And DraftKings just hasn't priced him up. Only 5,100 this week.
And then last but not least, you've got Mr. Volume here, Michael Mayer. I mean, a lot of people, and I wrote last week, like, hey, if Brock Bowers didn't exist, Michael Mayer would be a top 12 tight end. I mean, I believe it was a second round pick. My comp was Jason Witten. Maybe not a freak athlete, but I mean, it's like throwing to a couch when you throw to him. What do you see there with Michael Mayer? Look, we got a little Kenny Pickett this week, so I'm sure we'll get a lot of dump offs and throws underneath.
Yeah, Mayer easily led the team with 10 targets last week. He caught 9 of those for 89 yards. Now averages an 81% route share and a 27% target share in his 3 games without Brock Bowers. For perspective, a 27% target share would lead all tight ends and would rank 11th among wide receivers. And like you said, John, I mean, this isn't all that surprising. Mayer is probably the most talented tight end, too, in football. And like you said, if Bowers wasn't out there, Mayer would be a fantastic fantasy asset on a weekly basis. And at least for week 18, he's pretty clearly the top tight end value of the week.
Great stuff from Jake Tribby. As always, make sure you give him a follow on the X machine at Jake Tribby. Good luck with the plays. I guess we'll deliberate whether or not it's worth it to pop on for the playoffs going forward. But thanks a lot for the content and the effort and the insight here all year, Jake.
Appreciate it, John. Thank you.
There he goes, Jake Tribby of fantasypoints.com. And while we have a minute, let me just get this out of the way. Not been a good year for touchdown props, quite frankly. There was a spell there last year where I really homed in on them around midseason because we got on a little bit of a struggle bus with the actual props. But we never really got into that funk this year, so I haven't really homed in on it. We did hit that Zay Flowers prop. It's like I do some high risk, high reward props. So I only have two to pop out. Let me just pop them out right now. I am with the grinder, Tom Brawley, who joined us yesterday. He is a lifelong Steelers fan, so he knows of what he speaks. That they need Pat Freiermuth in this game. No DK Metcalf, no Darnell Washington. Jonnu Smith is the invisible man over the last couple of months. So I do like Freiermuth to be a factor here, and I like those odds at plus 310. The guy's a great red zone threat. And then this one is long shot. We won a Monday night special or a Thursday night special a couple weeks ago, and it was a major payout on Sean Tucker. It was like plus 520, and it hit. However, I like Rashad White in this game, and I'll have more on Rashad White on the other side. But how about a anytime touchdown? Good receiver, good running back in terms of tight as well. A plus 450. I thought that was pretty darn good. And when we return on the other side, we're just about done. All I have to do is pop out 10 props, including a best bet. And we are trying to preserve our record with 1 week to go on the Friday best bets. We are 12-5. Now, we did get off to an 8-0 start, so we've been a little sus down the stretch, but 12-5 is still pretty damn good. Let's make it 13-5, please. On the other side, my 10 props for week 18, along with my best bet for the week. Forthcoming here on this Friday edition of Prop Points on Visa.
Washing Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final segment on a Friday edition of Prop Points here. Final weekend of the NFL regular season. And hopefully we can end on a high note for the regular season. It's been a pretty good year. I mean, we didn't really crush, but we didn't get into real bad doldrums either all year. Thank God for November and all that. However, last week sucked, so it's not us, it's them. When I say that, I mean the league, the players, everything. It just was horrible last week for fantasy. It's been a bad couple of weeks. What can we do? Nothing, but we can keep coming back and hopefully, you know, be even Steven about it. So I'm feeling that way this week here. I did have to search long and hard for props. We do the show starting at 1 p.m. Eastern, which is a little early. And obviously the books have been very late getting to the props. So we did kind of, we were forced a little bit to focus on the Saturday games, the big Sunday night game. So let's get into it here. I do have 10, including a best bet. I will start with Mr. Zach Charbonnet, over 40.5 rushing yards. It was tempting to go in on Ken Walker, but I am the biggest Ken Walker hater in America, and I have been from the beginning, and that's despite the fact that he's really talented and the guy can teleport from one place onto the field, but he also, he's a bouncer. It's almost, I'm almost to the point where I'm like, they're telling him to bounce runs because it's so bad. But over the last 5 weeks, the Niners are really bad. They're giving up the second most yards per carry on zone concept runs compared to just 3.35 yards per carry on man and gap runs, which should be an edge for Kenneth Walker and probably will be an edge for Kenneth Walker. However, Charbonnet, he's kind of moving up in the world on those zone runs. He has a higher success rate on the zone runs than Walker. Over the last 5 weeks, Charbonnet outproduced Walker in the season opener, and he just dropped his first 100-yard rushing game last week. He led Walker in snap share, carry share, and route share, so he is the better option in an above-average matchup for both. The Niners are allowing 4.82 yards per carry since week 11. That is 25th in the NFL. 2.41 yards before contact per attempt. That is fifth worst, along with a 55.7 success rate. They've also, they have the most missed tackles forced allowed, which is a little bit more Ken Walker, but hey, Charbonnet looked pretty good last week. 4.7 yards per carry on these runs is Charbonnet since week 11, a 57.5% success rate. So we're looking good here with just get to 41 yards, man. I think we can do that, especially if Seattle wins, then he'll be their closer because you're not closing anything out with Ken Walker. You're potentially fumbling or having a big loss on a run as he tries to bounce it outside. Next up here, Ken Gainwell. I've only done one Gainwell prop all year and it lost, but I tried to sneak in a real low end rushing prop. It was like over 7.5 yards or 10.5 yards. First carry actually had a good carry, but it didn't happen. But he has clearly evolved now as a major threat in the passing attack. So we're going to go over 28.5 receiving yards. He has 6-plus catches in 5 of his last 7, including in this matchup back in week 16, he had 6 grabs for 27. Would have come just under the prop, but 6 grabs is pretty encouraging. The Steelers are also giving up the 6th most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to running backs in the passing game only. It's good for 2.7 extra fantasy points, which could be 27 yards. Just 2 weeks ago, they also gave up 10 catches to Jahmyr Gibbs for 61 yards. No DK, no Darnell Washington. Calvin Austin is a little iffy, and I really like Gainwell's long receptions over the last, let's say, month plus, 2 months, 10, 45, 10, 9, 17, 13, 28, 16. That's not bad. So I do believe we can get over, get to 29 yards for Kenny Gainwell. Next up, I know it's a little risky, but this number is also down. The stakes are massive. Lamar Jackson, over 25.5 rushing yards. The Steelers, over the last 5 weeks, they have allowed the most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to quarterbacks in the running game only. It's worth 3.2 fantasy points, which could be 32 yards. They played man coverage 31% of the time against Baltimore in week 14. And he runs against man like most quarterbacks do. And I actually went back and I looked at all of his game logs against Pittsburgh. Oddly enough, he only seems to play them once a year most years. But here's what we got starting in 2019. Well, that's how far back we went. 14 carries for 70 yards, 16 carries for 65, 8 carries for 55, 6 for 45, 4 for 46. Did have a 9 for 22 in there. But also this year, 7 for 43 with a touchdown. So Lamar's practicing more this week than he has in previous weeks, saying he's feeling good. So I like it. 26 yards rushing for Lamar Jackson. Next up, we were in on this earlier, so we'll gloss over it a little bit. This number is all over the map. It was 99, it was 98, and it was down to like 92. Last I saw, 94.5. Actually, no, we were in on this earlier. So whatever the screen says is what we're in on Jackson, Smith, and Jigba. But a good schematic matchup, as we outlined. Great situation. Sam Darnold averages over 10 yards per attempt against the shells that he'll see, which are cover four and cover three. He'll see that over 50% of the time, about 60% of the time. And JSN absolutely smashes those shells, 4.46 yards per route run. Next up, in that very same game, I'm going to go over on AJ Barner. We've got good karma on Barner. He won a prop for us a couple of weeks ago on that nationally televised game, 35.5. Now, they are going to get Rashid Shaheed back, which doesn't help this prop. But, I mean, let's be honest here. AJ Barner has been the second most reliable receiver for Sam Darnold all year. He's got three or more catches in five straight. He should stay productive against the Niners, who give up the 10th most receiving yards per game. Two tight ends at 59, 10th most receptions per game, along with the fourth most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game, two tight ends the last 5 weeks. Good for plus 4.6 points, which could be 46 yards. They also give up the second most to tight ends lined up in line, which is where he is a lot. He averages a workable 1.62 yards per route run against cover three and cover four, which again, they're running at about 60% clip. And Colston Loveland crushed them last week, 6 for 94 with a tutty. Chris Godwin, we were in on this earlier in the week, 34.5. So I will gloss over that. I know this one here is a little weird. Brian Thomas Jr., over 42.5 receiving yards over the last 5 weeks. The Titans give up the most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to wide receivers lining up on the left side, plus 6.4, which could be 64 yards. That's Thomas's side. He'll see a lot of Kaiir Elam, who is not very good. Tennessee gives up the third most yards per route run to outside receivers, and it is a pretty darn solid schematic matchup. We also skipped over T. Higgins. I like this one at 54.5 receiving yards. They run a lot of man coverage, and he is at 2.32 yards per route run against man compared to just 1.52 for Ja'Marr Chase. I went back and I looked at his game logs, and he's done very well in this matchup. In 2024, he had 8 grabs for 58 and a touch, and 4 for 82 and a touch in this matchup. So I think we've covered them all. Oh yeah, Rico Dowdle over 17.5. I like that one as well. And let's get to the last one on the list here. Also want to remind you, coming up here at the top of the hour, it is Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern. We're going to get right to it, though, because I'm going in on Rashad White. This is too good to be true. Over 21.5 rushing receiving yards. Carolina, over the last 5 weeks, gives up the fourth most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to running backs in the running game only. In the same span, they're giving up 5.98 yards per carry on man-gap runs. White's averaging 9.25 yards per carry on those runs. I like this prop 2 weeks ago, the rushing prop, and he got it on one carry. A 39-yard rip. So he's only got under 22 yards in 3 of 16 games, so I think he hits it. Good luck with the plays. We'll catch you Monday for another edition of Prop Points here on VSiN.